Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Pastor Dusty, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. We usually have a couple more people alongside of us. They still haven't joined us,
Bob. R.I.P. Mike and Chris.
Yeah. Today, we want to follow up on a conversation, carry a little bit further, conversation we were having about racial injustice, and just get a little bit more practical. We have some thoughts on what it looks like to actually make this more personal for you specifically.
Yeah. Man, and we realize this is like, this whole topic touches nerves in our society that run deep. Doesn't matter sort of what subculture you're a part of, what people group you're a part of. And so we're trying to do the best we can to lead a conversation here that we realize is will be uncomfortable in some ways for many people. Last week, I tried to share as sort of as helpfully as I could with very limited perspective some of the things I've learned from some African-American friends that had the courage to share their stories and just how it began to open my eyes to pieces of the situation, the story that I did not fully understand and therefore didn't understand how my silence or activity communicates or didn't communicate something. And so that's what we want to sort of dive back into. I really want to ask the question, if last week we said, can we as white Christians just acknowledge the reality of systemic racism in our country and be okay saying that's happened? Let's just name it. It's okay to say that it's happened. Then this podcast, we want to ask, how can we become part of the solution? How can we move toward bringing healing and being a prophetic voice in our culture right now on this issue?
Yeah, because I think we feel paralyzed, right? Like, I think a lot of people feel like, oh, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, but then I don't know how to actually do anything.
Yeah. So let me go back. I've got some stuff written on the whiteboard here of like, I want to give some very practical, tangible steps for white Christians, but I want to back up first and say, nothing good happens in this conversation if we don't start from a posture of humility. If we don't start from a posture of coming in low and saying, there are things about the sort of world of race that as majority culture people, we don't understand and won't understand. There are experiences other people have had that we have not had, and therefore we're looking through a certain lens. And that lens is privileged in some distinct ways. And saying that is not implying that I'm ashamed that I'm white and I wish I was something else. Just saying I've had a certain privilege in our society based on the sort of racial background that I have. And humility and entering in low is the starting point for me as a sort of white majority culture American understanding the plight of African-American friends. And so again, race is such a challenging thing to talk about because I think even sort of we feel divided into categories of race. You know, the census makes you say, are you Caucasian? Are you African-American? Are you Latino? What are you? And so we sort of, I think, as Christians always want to start from, well, we're Christians, man. That's our primary identity. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. But let's not fail to acknowledge we also have a secondary cultural identity. And there's a way we need to enter in humility, recognizing how that cultural identity has been carried and has been carried painfully in our own national history. That's the starting point is humility.
Bob, I'm curious, as you were interacting with those pastors a couple weeks ago, what are they saying? Like, what when you just say, hey, what would be helpful? Like, how can I, as a white leader and pastor, help here? What is their word to us? Because I'm actually assuming that it's more shocking than I think. So what do they say? What do they suggest?
Man, every one of those guys feels lonely. Because they just feel like, man, the church community that I expected to, like, step up with me and for me in these situations always tends to sort of shrink back. And especially if you think about what happened in Dallas, right? That's complex, man, because we all have friends, family members who are law enforcement officers, or we know somebody. And so, man, we want to like rally and say like, dude, that's like, we feel the shock and the pain and the awe of that. And I think what they're sort of longing for is like, hey, can some white people also do that just with regard to like the black community, yeah. you know, yeah. without asking the question of, was this guy a thug or wasn't he, was he a criminal, right. wasn't he, did he deserve to get shot or didn't he? Can we just get that common human empathy that says, gosh, something tragic happened
yeah.
and that's sad and that's yeah. wrong. And so those guys feel isolated, man. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they said like part of the reason we're doing this podcast is in answer to the longing they raised, which is, hey, if the black guys are always the guys raising the flag of injustice,
mm-hmm.
at some point we just get written off.
Sure.
Because it just feels to the rest of the culture like, well, yeah, you guys are just sort of, you're still mad about slavery and you yeah. want to beat the drum again. He's like, what we need is white friends coming alongside with a biblical worldview and saying, injustice is a real thing, man. Let's call it mm-hmm. what it is. Let's talk about the sort of systemic features of injustice in society and start a conversation. Here's what I think, and I believe the best about every person in our church and every person listening to this podcast. And so I think though these things are complex for us, and especially, see, I have like, I have about 4 or 5 years of history of just trying to like walk out some relationships with some friends in this area and converse. So I feel like I feel for people who are where I was 5 years ago and like maybe not even sure how to enter into the conversation or not mm-hmm. sure there's even a conversation to have. So part of this mm-hmm. podcast is just saying there's a conversation to have here. There's a thing called yeah. racial injustice that's been a part of our American story. Let's not pretend that that hasn't shaped yeah. our experience.
And let's not pretend that it's not shaping you even if you're trying to ignore it.
Exactly. And so then let's step in now to the question. I guess what I was saying is I want to believe, though, that for all of us, we want to go, okay, but tell me some things I can actually do. Like if I am naive in this area, ignorant in this area, or sort of have cultural lenses on in this area that need to be clarified by a broader perspective, where do I start? And that's kind of, I just want to give some practical,
yeah.
here's what we can do. And so here's the first thing. I got 5 or 6 practical things written on the whiteboard that I just want to walk through. Number one, the starting point here is what I would just call moving toward. Moving toward someone of another race, another ethnicity. And I would say especially moving toward African-Americans in your life. When I say moving toward, yeah. I just mean like intentional. The same way we talk about intentionality when it comes to mission, intentional cultivation of friendship, intentionally moving towards someone with a different cultural, ethnic background than yeah. you.
In a genuine way.
Yeah. And I don't mean like moving toward them as in friending them on Facebook. I'm talking about real, actual life.
Yeah.
And so I assume that we're living in a culturally diverse enough society. You have some people in your life that aren't like you. Move toward them.
Mm-hmm.
Move toward them. That step alone communicates a ton, especially if our posture moving toward is one of listening, one of humility, one of, hey, I want to understand more about who you are and what your story is and how the world has shaped you mm-hmm. for good and for bad. The second thing then is friendship. I would say moving toward is the first step of ultimately friendship and relationship. And this is where we want to get to. I think for us to have our own cultural blinders adjusted and for us to have meaningful conversations about, man, these significant issues in society, here's what has to happen. You have to have a black friend that is a true friend that has dinner in your house mm-hmm. you play with kids, with their kids, and they play with your kids, or you share meals and conversation and there's true context for like disagreement, misunderstanding. That it's not sort of the friendship where it's like walking on eggshells like yeah. on a first date, but like a real friendship.
Yeah, so not an acquaintance.
Right, a real friendship. And look, this takes time to cultivate, but I want to say as a white pastor for me, when I began to get convicted a few years ago of gosh, mm-hmm. if I'm gonna meaningfully engage the city of Omaha, Nebraska,
yeah.
I gotta move toward especially some African Americans that have the same vision for the gospel that I do. And so that was the beginning of my friendship with Josh and Teresa Eggerson. They've been a great blessing to Lee and I, that even though they moved now to Florida and so they're no longer sort of right down the road from us. That friendship was so rich for me, just having somebody I could say, hey man, can you mm-hmm. explain this to me?
Yeah.
You
know,
like, I was like, I felt like I could say like, hey man, can we talk about like the jokey stereotypy things about white and black?
Yeah.
And just help me understand like why do y'all think white people are like this? How come we think black? Like I could just, those conversations were so free and so open
yeah.
and that was a beautiful thing for me. And all of us need that. We need to create relationships of trust that are truly friendships, that break down stereotypes, that break down isolation, that help us see with a different lens.
And that goes back to what you're saying earlier about humility. So that's different than having a black acquaintance, and a friendship is going to be somebody that you can actually admit your ignorance to and say, hey, help me learn here.
Yeah, exactly. And look, ultimately, man, I'll say we want a church that's like as diverse as our city. And one of the things I've had to confront, you know, because here's what's funny to me, especially like young evangelicals have this sort of starry-eyed vision of diversity where it's like, well, how come our church isn't like 50% or 30% black, 30% Latino, and 30% white, and then a few Asians? You know, like, yeah. What, like, you know, this sort of glorified, idealistic vision. I'm saying, man, I'd love to have a church like that. It might take us 30 years. Like, mm-hmm. Look at the city we live in.
Yeah, the city we live in is very diverse.
The city we live in is polarized and
there's
divided
clear lines
along racial lines.
And on so where I live.
It's naive to think that, like, just drop a church on, you know, somewhere in the middle of the city and it immediately takes on diversity. That kind of diversity is hard won through friendship. And so if you think, like, oh, man, next week, next year, a bunch of African-Americans are going to show up in our worship service and our church is going to become diverse, guess how it's going to happen? By you and me creating real relationships with people that aren't like us.
Yeah.
So let's not I think there are like sort of things we can do at the level of leadership, but friendships are crucial, especially in understanding how those sort of ethnic and sort of microcultural boundaries are crossed through relationship. Here's the third thing you can do. Learning, reading. Man, I got so graciously rebuked. I got so graciously rebuked this week, and I mean, it was like one of those moments where the light bulb just went on for me of like, holy crap, you're right. This was at the Acts 29 Pastors Retreat that I talked about last week, and Chandler, who's moderating this panel, asks one of the guys, hey man, like, I think most of the audience here that are white wants to understand more the African-American experience. What should we read? Like, are there books to read? Are there DVDs to watch? Are there documentary? What can we do to sort of gain a better understanding of the African American experience in America? And I think that question was motivated out of true, genuine, you know, gosh, I felt that. Tell me where to start, man.
Yeah.
And this black guy looked at Matt Chandler and said, "Don't ask me to do your research for you." he said, If you care about something, show me that you care about it by going and figuring it out yourself. You have Google on your phone.
Wow.
Like, don't ask the black man to be your taskmaster to tell you what to read so you can become educated on what it means to be black.
Yeah.
And it was just this really gracious rebuke. He didn't mean it in an aggressive way. But I was so like, man.
But in the way that you would learn about anything else.
Exactly. Like, if I cared about, you know, baseball history, I'm going to go check out some books on baseball from the library. You're right. I need to, if I actually care about issues of race, I need to show it by going and learning. So look, there's some good resources and places you can go. There's some easy websites you can go to that sort of can start. I mean, just do a Google search, you know, and we live in a connected world, right?
Yeah.
You're going to find all kinds of things, but learning and reading and understanding, especially the sort of history of the African-American experience. Some of that stuff I shared in last week's podcast about what I learned about what happened in the South after the end of slavery. I just learned that through reading historians, you know, and I was like, gosh, I never knew that.
Right.
So learn. Fourth thing, lament. This is something I think at Coram Deo we do well. We're familiar with this category. Some of more of the happy clappy versions of evangelicalism probably have more room to grow here than
we do. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Yeah. It's going to be okay.
But because we're familiar with the category of lament and just crying out, man, we need to embrace that when it comes to issues of race in America. We need to realize, man, that just joining in sadness, suffering, crying out, grief, pain, lament, These are things that minister deeply to our African American brothers and sisters, and that help us enter into an experience of shared suffering. And so lament is there's a rich category there for us to open up and engage together. The fifth thing is, and this is one that has been modeled really well for me by Ray Ortland, speaking out.
Yeah.
Probably some of us that are younger and perhaps more spiritually immature need to go slow on this one. Because I think the danger of speaking is that sometimes our speaking out can be reactive or it can be shrill. So like I imagine people listening to this conversation, there's some people who would be like, man, yeah, I don't understand much about the African-American experience. And now like I become this advocate for, you know, every article I ever read on the African-American experience, which is a kind of speaking out, but it's not a mature and a wise kind of speaking out. The kind of speaking that's needed is sort of that coming out of friendship, coming out of learning, and coming out of lament and shared suffering, the ability to speak meaningfully and say, hey, these issues of race in America matter. The Lord Jesus cares about these things. We can do better. The church needs to lead here. And so here's what I would say. If you've, I don't want to use social media. I feel like I'm about to use a social media example, and that's probably going to backfire on me. But
well, I was just going to say speaking means bigger than social media.
Yeah, it does.
Right?
But here's the thing. Let me put it this way. If you've never posted anything on social media that would make any of your white friends unhappy, you might not be saying what you need to say.
Yeah.
It's even been really fascinating to read about the Black Lives Matter movement and like all the, like there's people that debate, like, should I say hashtag Black Lives Matter or should I say hashtag All Lives Matter? Like, like, is it, you know, and granted the Black Lives Matter thing, there's sort of a movement underneath that, that I don't necessarily want to endorse everything that's a part of that movement. It has some radical elements to it, but look, our African-American brothers and sisters who are Christians would say, look, if you're afraid to say Black Lives Matter, what you're saying to us is the opposite of that.
Right.
Now, you might not think that might not be your intention, but so we have to, out of listening, recognize where do we need to speak with prophetic biblical clarity into the issues of our day, and not in ways that are sort of shrill, obnoxious, or naive and simplistic, but in ways that say the Lord's calling us to something greater here. So speaking in ways that that push forward, acknowledging systemic racial injustice in America and moving us toward something new. And then you mentioned this one, Dusty. This last one is yours, just giving the benefit of the doubt, believing the best about one another.
Yeah, I think we don't give the benefit of the doubt. And that comes again out of our experiences like we talked about last week. If it's true that we're all coming out of a certain narrative and out of a certain framework into the culture, then we're all wired already to believe certain things. But the scriptures are going to call us to believe, to give the benefit of the doubt and believe the best. So instead, the line is always guilty until proven innocent, the way that our justice system works or tends to work. What if the opposite were true for the kingdom of God, where we believe the best, we give the benefit of the doubt until you actually give me some reasons not to? That would change everything, I feel like. And so I think we have to be proactive about all these things that we're saying. And we also have to change the way that we view people and give the benefit of the doubt to them.
So here's where why are we tackling a couple of podcasts here on racial injustice? Why is it a couple of white guys sitting around talking about race? And here's why. Because I'm trying to move the needle for our largely white church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't imagine what I'm saying on this podcast is going to resonate very deeply with any African-American friends who are listening.
Hopefully they tweet us and tell us how to get it better.
Or hopefully they at least say, hey, thanks for having a conversation.
Thanks for trying.
It was lame, but you're good. You know, thanks for trying. But for our white listeners and especially our own church, Dusty, what I just want is, I want this issue not to be a neutral one.
Mm-hmm.
I want us not to be the kind of people at Quorumdale that have to be convinced that racial injustice exists. I want us to kind of be the kind of people who assume and acknowledge that it exists and then say, hey, we don't quite know how to be part of the solution, but man, we want it. We want to listen. We want to hear. We want to move toward our African-American brothers and sisters, and we want to see the gospel bring a kind of healing to this issue nationally that nothing else can bring. I think that's the real opportunity here. So if you're a listener, the goal of these couple of podcasts is sort of educating and provoking and sort of saying, let's move the dial to where we no longer pretend like this isn't present, to where we're just willing to say, okay, man, racial injustice is a reality. And now what? Now what do we do? And now how do we as white evangelical Christians link arms with the Black community and say, how can we walk forward with you? And not every solution proposed is going to be a good one. And not every, you know, the funny thing is, like, let's just apply the same wisdom here we would in any other situation, mm-hmm. right? The parents on your baseball team, not every parenting piece of advice that gets thrown out in the baseball dugout is going to be good.
Right.
That doesn't mean you throw out all those people and like, oh, they're all bad parents, right?
Right.
Not every solution proposed to issues of race in America is going to be a good one. That doesn't mean we stand back until somebody proposes, you know, the ideal solution. We enter in to the dialogue. Yeah. We love the people around us and we seek to move forward.
Man, even as we're talking about this, I'm just convicted that I got to figure out for myself how to do some of these things practically instead of just being paralyzed and trying to dismiss the conversation. And so we want that to be the goal of this podcast for you, to equip you towards discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we invite you to listen in and then therefore take out the equipping that you can gain from this podcast. And we're praying that the things that we're talking about here might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. That's the end of this week's conversation. We invite you to join the conversation or suggest conversation topics, or also just help us to take this racial injustice idea forward with good fodder, good questions, good feedback by tweeting at us at Coramdale Omaha. That's it for today. See you again next Wednesday for the Wednesday conversation.